Steve, Joshua chapter number 1. Let's stand if we could. If you're physically able, we'll stand for the reading of God's Word. We'll allow the children to be dismissed to junior church and toddler church this morning. Joshua chapter number 1. We'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and under the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." I want to bring you a message this morning, and if you have a bulletin, the outline is on the back of your bulletin this morning, but I want to bring you a message this morning entitled, "Every Generation Must Advance." Every generation must advance. Father, we ask for your help today. We thank you for this passage. We thank you for its meaning. We thank you for its truths that we glean from it. We thank you for the help and the strength and the courage and the promises that we derive from it. And Father, I pray that you'd help every single one of us today. It matters not what generation we find ourselves in today. Father, every single individual, every single Christian, every single corporate generation must advance in their spiritual walk, in their spiritual growth. And Father, I pray that you would simply remind us of that this morning. I pray that you would simply give us a shot in the arm this morning. Maybe we're doing well, maybe we are advancing, but Father, maybe some of us have kind of become stagnant in our Christian lives. Maybe even we've gone backwards. Father, may that not be the case, but Father, if we have, may your Holy Spirit convict us this morning. May your Holy Spirit challenge us. May your Holy Spirit help us to confess and move forward and advance, because that's what you desire for us to do. Father, if there would be one here today, or maybe two, or maybe even several here today without Christ, they've never been born again, they've never had their sin cleansed and washed and covered by the blood of Christ, Father, may today be their day of salvation. We pray for that. We pray your Holy Spirit would have free reign to move in our midst today. And we'll praise you. And we'll thank you, we'll give you glory and honor for anything and everything that you're going to do in our midst today. And Father, we pray all of this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated this morning. The word advance, it means to move forward in a purposeful way. It means to move forward in a purposeful way. It means to make progress. It means a forward movement. We're taking our teenagers this week on what we have simply entitled a teen advance, because our simple desire, and by the way, I at first called it a teen retreat, and then I got to thinking, man, we don't retreat for anything. Amen? We don't back up for anything. All right, that's just a personal thing of mine, but our simple desire is to encourage, it's to strengthen, it's to reinforce, and it's to equip our young people in God's Word so that they may begin to advance or simply continue to advance in their walk, growth, and service for the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, this is the same purpose for which we have missions conferences, revival services, ladies, men's, and couples outings, camp, VBS, Sunday school, master clubs, weekly services for that matter, because our desire is to fulfill the Great Commission. And what is the Great Commission? That people would be saved, baptized, and discipled. When a person is being constantly discipled, then they will certainly be constantly advancing. When a person is being constantly discipled, constantly learning about God's Word, constantly growing in God's Word, then they will without a doubt be constantly advancing. And the Scriptures teach us time and again that every generation is responsible for their own advancement. I cannot live off of the victories and advancements of my parents' generation. My children cannot live off of the victories and advancements of my generation. And my grandchildren will not be able to live off of the advancements and victories of my children. And this is where we find Joshua and his generation of Israelites. Joshua is actually commanded to do in Joshua chapter 1 what the previous generation refused to do. Would you hold your Bibles here in Joshua and go back just real quickly to the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 13. I'll look at just a couple of passages here in Numbers chapter 13 and 14. In Numbers chapter 13 and 14, Moses' generation of Israelites had the same promises, did they not? Absolutely. Moses and the nation of Israel had the same promises that Joshua and a new generation of Israelites had. The same promise. What was that promise? I'm going to give you the promised land. I'm going to give you the land of Canaan. I'll give you the victories. I'll be with you. I'll go with you. I'll fight for you. You don't have to fear. You don't have to be dismayed. I'll give you, I have given you the land of Canaan. That was the promise to Moses. And by the way, Moses believed that. Moses believed it. That was the promise to Moses and his generation. It was the same promise as Joshua and his generation had. So, both generations, they had the same promises. They had the same difficulties. Joshua's generation is going to face the same difficulties in the promised land as Moses and his generation would have faced if they had gone into the promised land. Now, I know in the day and time we live, we say, well, you know, things are so bad and no generation has ever had to deal with what we've dealt with. Look, I'll submit that things are seemingly worse in America than maybe they were a couple of generations ago. But every generation has had difficulties to deal with. Every generation of Christians has had to deal with obstacles and persecution and difficulties. They had the same promises. They had the same obstacles, the same difficulties, the same hindrances. The only thing that was different was their response. The generation of Israelites in Moses' day feared, and they rebelled, and they retreated. Joshua and his generation of Israelites had faith, and they went in and they took the promised land. Every generation must advance. Look here in Numbers chapter number 13. We'll begin in verse number 26. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation. Remember, they sent out 12 spies. Many of our children have learned that song as from being little up to a teenager. They've learned that song. 12 spies, 10 were bad, 2 were good. And that's where we find ourselves. The 12 spies have come back to Moses at Kadesh Barnea. And the Bible says, and they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. Now let me ask you, was the fruit good? Absolutely. Man, they had clusters of grapes that had to be carried by two men on a pole between two men. The fruit was great. Verse 27, and they told him and said, we came into the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." God has promised, so that means we're well able to overcome it. But look at the rest of the people. "But the men that went up with him said, 'We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.'" By the way, when we make statements like that, when the nation of Israel made a statement like that, when they said they are stronger than we, when is it that we make statements like that? When we don't trust, when we're relying on what? Ourselves. When we're relying on flesh instead of having faith. Now, when I'm relying on flesh, I will make that statement every single time. They're greater than we are. They're stronger than we are. They're mightier. The walls are huge. The walls are thick. They're fortified. And when I'm looking at flesh, and when I compare flesh to flesh, I will always make that statement. But Caleb, the Bible says, stilled the people. Why? Because he was looking with eyes of faith. The rest of them were looking with eyes of flesh. Verse 32, "And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, 'The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight.'" Chapter 14, "And all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, 'Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt?'" By the way, I believe there are a number of church folks today that have gone through what our nation has gone through in the past 6 months, and that's what they're saying. "I think it's better if I go back to Egypt." That's going backward. That's not going forward. And that's what the children of Israel are saying, this generation. Verse 5, "Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel." Look, God is still the same God today as He was back in the middle of March when all of this started happening. Amen. Still the same. None of this has caught Him by surprise. The virus, the other stuff that's going on in our nation right now, none of that caught Him by surprise. Verse 6, "And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, 'The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey.'" Notice verse 9. We'll stop right here. "Only rebel not ye against the Lord. Neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not." The same promises that Moses and his generation had are the same promises that Joshua, we find in Joshua 1, had. The same difficulties, the same obstacles that Moses had are going to be the same obstacles that Joshua and them have. The only difference is their response. Moses' generation said, "We can't do it," except for Joshua and Caleb. Moses' people said, no, they're too great for us. And Joshua and Caleb, they come in verse number 9, and they say, "They are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them." By the way, in the book of Joshua, and we're not going to look at that passage this morning, but in Joshua, How do we know that that statement is true? Okay, they believe in God, but more specifically, how do we know when that statement right there, when he said, they are bread for us, their defense is departed from them, how do we know that's true? Now, another generation later, but how do we know that that was true? Because of Rahab. When the men went in to spy out Jericho and they went in to Rahab, what did Rahab tell them? Rahab told the spies, we're afraid of y'all. We've heard what God has done for you, and we're afraid of you. That's exactly what Joshua and Caleb say right here. Every generation has the same promises from God. Christian, every generation of Christian, from the time that Christ died on the cross, from the time the church was established with Christ and His disciples, when the church began there, I believe the church began with Christ and His disciples, but when the church was magnified in the book of Acts, from that time until now, every generation of Christian has had the responsibility to advance. Every generation. I can't live, as I said before, I can't live on what my mom and dad's generation did. And they did some great things. I can't live off of that. My children can't live off of what we have done. Hey, one of these days when many of our generation are gone, it's going to take this generation to rise up and continue what has happened here. By the way, to rise up and continue soul winning, to rise up and continue teaching the Word of God, to rise up and continue to build buildings. We get comfortable sometimes. Well, we have nice facilities and everything's going great. We just need to sit back and not do anything anymore. That's not true. We need to constantly be advancing. Constantly be advancing every single generation. By the way, if you're in the silent generation, if you're a baby boomer, if you're Generation X, if you're Generation Y, if you're a millennial, whoever you may be, if you're Generation Z, which they call the iGen, doesn't matter what generation you are in today, every generation must advance. Why? It's simple. The reason is simple because if we're not, we're either being stagnant or we're going backward. Right? If we're not going forward, if we're not advancing, if we're not progressing or moving forward purposefully, see, it doesn't happen by default. It's intentional. We do it on purpose. And if we're not doing that, then we're either just sitting still or we're going backward. And so let me give you this morning, I want us to see, and my hope and prayer is that we will simply see, we'll be confronted with some reasons why it is vital that every generation advance. So go back to Joshua chapter 1 if you would. And number one this morning, the first reason I want to give us is simply this. Because we have ground to possess. Because we have ground to possess. Why is it important? Why is it vital that every generation advance? Because we have ground to possess. Every generation has new ground to possess. And we're speaking about spiritual. We're not necessarily speaking about physical ground, although that could come into it, but we're primarily speaking about spiritual ground. Every generation has ground to possess. Every generation has new individuals that need to be saved. Every generation has new families that need to be discipled. Every generation has new converts that need to be baptized and discipled and grow. Every generation has ground to possess. Verses 1 through 4, God comes to Joshua and He says, look, Moses is gone. That leader is gone. That generation is gone. He says, verse number 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise. Hey, you're in charge now, Joshua. Moses is gone. It's time for you to step up and you to advance and you to take leadership. Therefore arise. Go over this Jordan, thou and all these people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I chosen, or excuse me, given unto you, as I said unto Moses. You see that same promise that God gave to Moses, He gives to Joshua. Just like I said to Moses, I'm saying to you. Because we have ground to possess. We have an enemy to engage, we have a land to liberate, we have ground to possess. And when we take the ground and when we possess the ground and when we fight for the ground, it means that we have to fight against the foe. It means we have to engage the enemy. And that's hard sometimes, isn't it? Why aren't we advancing the way that we should as Christians in 21st century America? Why aren't? Because it's hard. Because it takes effort. Because it's a battle. Because we have to engage the enemy. And so often we've sat back and we've let the enemy come to us instead of engaging the enemy. It's a spiritual battle. We're not talking about physical. It's a spiritual battle. We must engage the enemy. Why is it vital? Because we have ground to possess. Hey, teenagers in here today, you have ground to possess. You have ground to possess. I don't know what that ground is, but spiritually, I know this spiritually. God wants you to grow. God wants you to advance and go forward every single day, every moment of your Christian life. He wants you to grow and grow and go forward. You have ground to possess. In your outline there, we have ground that has been commanded that we possess. God commanded, verse number 4, it really in the whole chapter of chapter number 1, God commands Joshua, go possess the land. In verse number 4, he says, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast, ground commanded. In Matthew chapter number 28, God gives us, at least in part, we could talk about many different parcels of ground, but in Matthew 28 and in Mark 16 and in many places in the Scriptures, God gives us what we call the Great Commission. If you want to start somewhere, that's a good piece of parcel or a good piece of ground to start with. We've already mentioned it, that people be saved, baptized, and discipled. And part of that in fulfilling the Great Commission is that people all around this world are saved, baptized, and discipled. And part of that is sending missionaries to go. Hey, young people, you ought to commit and even cultivate in your heart right now. I'm going to give and I'm going to help when it comes to the matter of missions. Hey, parents, we ought to start right now helping our teenagers to give to missions. Because that's ground to possess. And when we're gone one day, they've already learned how to give to missionaries. They've already learned how to fulfill the entirety of the Great Commission because they've already been prepared to help and to give and to help send missionaries all around this world. They've already been prepared for it. Why must every generation advance? Because we have ground to possess. Ground commanded. Let me give you a second one. Ground conceded. You know, some generations have to take back ground that the previous generation conceded. And I submit to us this morning that for the last couple of generations in our nation, we've conceded a lot of ground in the church. We've conceded holiness. Don't talk about holiness anymore because we want to live however we want to live. We want to drink our beer on Saturday night and go to church on Sunday morning. We want to go to the club on Friday night and still go to church on Sunday morning. So don't talk about holiness. We've conceded that. The Bible hasn't conceded it. We have. My generation has. Holiness. And there's ground sometimes that's been conceded that the next generation has to take back. And God help. Look, I pray that there's some young people in this church today. I pray today that there's some teenagers and some young adults and some young families in our church today that will say, you know what? The generation before me conceded that biblical truth. Let's take it back. Let's take it. Let's go get it and take it back. Holiness. Salvation. We talked about this last week. Many of our churches have conceded and they've muddied down and they've watered down what salvation truly is. Salvation is partaken of by grace through faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not partaken of through baptism. It's not partaken of through membership in a certain church. It's not partaken of by putting money in the offering plate. It's not partaken of because we're born into a certain family. No. It's by His shed blood and by the grace of God that sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross, and simply by faith we believe and we put our trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ and we're saved. That's what the Bible teaches. We need to take that back. In many churches, that has been conceded. Biblical roles have been conceded. We need to take those back. Brother Roma spoke about it just briefly in his Sunday school this morning. The Bible is still true. The husband is the head. The wife is to submit. The husband is to submit to Christ. The wife is to submit to the husband. And the children are to submit to mom and dad. That's still biblical. Some of you could care less because you don't care anything about sports, but I heard recently a commentator was talking about, with everything that's gone on in our nation the past few months, that these college football players now have more authority than their coaches do. I'm sorry, that's not right. If you're going to go play for a coach, he's the authority. Now, if you don't like his rules and his authority, go play somewhere else. But he is supposed to be the authority. And biblical roles have been conceded, and we've become so mealy-mouthed and yellow-backed about biblical roles, we don't want to offend anybody. Look, we ought to be worried about offending God before offending man. And if God's Word says it, look, let's take it back. If we've conceded it, let's take it back. If we've said, well, you know, that's an antiquated book. I don't believe that in the 21st century. I don't believe that the woman has to be submissive to the husband. I don't believe that I have to be submissive to Christ. I don't believe that I have to obey mom and dad. Look, we need to take that ground back. Ground that has been conceded. Church polity. How a church is supposed to operate. That has been conceded. Doctrine has been conceded. We don't preach doctrine anymore because doctrine divides. You're absolutely right. It does divide between truth and error. Absolutely. Doctrine divides. And we don't want to talk about doctrine. We don't want to talk about the doctrine of salvation. We don't want to talk about the doctrine of the end times. We don't want to talk about any type of doctrine. We don't want to talk about the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. We don't want to talk about any doctrine because doctrine divides. Because we have ground to possess. Teenagers, young adults in here today, you probably have some ground to take back that we conceded. And you forgive us for that. And God help you to be able to take it back. And before we go to the grave, God help us to take it back. Ground that has been conceded, ground commanded. Let her see ground conquered. Because we have ground to possess. We have ground that God has already promised us. We just need to go conquer. We just need to go engage the enemy in God's power, in His strength, in the truth of God's Word, and go conquer and live the abundant Christian life. The land of Canaan, we say it all the time, the land of Canaan is a picture of the abundant Christian life. That's what it is. Canaan is not a picture of heaven. It's a picture of the abundant Christian life. Well, Pastor, we sing songs about Canaan and going over Jordan and going to heaven. Look, when I get to heaven, I'm not going to have to battle seven warring nations. They're already defeated. Now, I'm not necessarily against those songs. Some of them sound pretty good, you know. But I'm just saying, we need to make sure we have our doctrine right. The land of Canaan is a picture of the abundant Christian life. And God wants us to go conquer the land that He has promised us. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He's given us His Word. And the Spirit, in conjunction with the Scriptures, work together, to give us the strength, to give us the power, to give us the courage and the boldness to engage the enemy and to conquer and to take what God has already promised us. Number one, because we have ground to possess. Number two, because we have a God to prove. And I'm not being irreverent by making that statement. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 3. He says, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Now, in those three verses, and we're going to continue on in just a moment, but God gives promise after promise after promise. He gives promise of possession. He gives promise of victory, of conquering. He gives promise of His presence. He'll be with us. He gives us the promise that He'll fight for us, that He'll not forsake, or at least here in this passage, He's speaking specifically to Joshua and the nation of Israel. I'm not going to fail you. I'm not going to forsake you. Because of that, you can be strong and you can have good courage. You know what? God, by faith, wants us to prove Him based on what He has promised us. The Bible tells us in Malachi chapter 3, verse number 10, it says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house." And notice this, "and prove me now." "And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, and that there shall not be room enough to receive it." God says, look, prove me. Have faith in me. Bring your tithes into the storehouse. Give what you're supposed to give. Give obediently. Give cheerfully. Give bountifully. Do what you're supposed to do. Prove me and I'll show you. He said, if you'll have faith, if you'll prove me, I'll show you. If you'll prove me, I'll prove myself to you. If you'll have faith, I'll show how faithful I am. If you'll have faith, I'll show you how faithful I am. Isn't He always faithful? Always. We can trust Him every time. By the way, sometimes when we're in a revival service or a missions conference or maybe just in a regular service on a Sunday, and the Holy Spirit knocks on your heart and He says, hey, I want you to give this much to the missionary. I want you to give this much to the evangelist. You know what God's wanting to do? He's wanting you to prove Him. Hey, I want you to give $500 to the evangelist. God, you know, I've already given my... Oh, you mean out of my tithes and offerings? No, no, no. I mean above what you normally give each month. But God, I've already given my tithes and offerings. I don't have $500 to give. Prove me. Prove me. But how many times do we shrink back in fear and don't prove God? God here in Joshua chapter 1, He is saying, Joshua, you can prove me. You can have faith in me. You can trust me. And I will prove myself to you because I have proven myself to you over and over and over again. Every generation must advance. Why? Because there's ground to possess. Why? Because we have a God to prove. And not just a God, but the God. Jehovah God, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the God to prove. Let me ask us this morning. As a church, as Maranatha Baptist Church, could God's desire be to do so much more in and through us, but He hasn't because of our lack of faith? I believe so. I believe in my own life. May God desire to do more in my own personal life, spiritually speaking, or even physically or financially, but because of my lack of faith, and by the way, I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel this morning. I'm simply saying, let's have faith. If He says, hey, I want you to give the missionary $200, do it and see if he won't give it back. Now, by the way, I don't do it just so He'll give it back. I do it because He's told me to, and I obey His command. You say, Pastor, does God speak to you like that? Not audibly, but He sure pricks my heart. And there are times when He pricks my heart that right at that very moment, He puts an amount in my mind. And you know what? I shouldn't sway from that amount. Because I believe that's from the Lord. I believe that's from the Holy Spirit. He leads us and He guides us. I'm not talking about some extra biblical revelation. It's not what I'm talking about this morning. I'm talking about being sensitive to the pricking and the moving of the Holy Spirit. We have a God to prove. How does He want us to prove Him? He wants us to prove His promises. He wants us to prove His promises. We read verses 3 through 5. I'm going to give you the land. I'm going to give you the possessions. Verse 4. I'm going to give you the borders. I'm going to show you the borders. I'm going to give you this land. I'm going to give you my presence. I'm going to give you my power. That's letter B and C. He wants us to prove His power. He wants us to prove His presence. He wants us to prove His promises, His power, and His presence. But God, in our eyes, we're like grasshoppers before those people there in the land of Canaan. Sure you are. Absolutely. Flesh against flesh, you're always going to lose. But you see, you have me, which is always greater than flesh. He wants us to prove His power. He wants us to prove His presence. He wants us to prove, letter D, His precepts. Verse number 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. You're thinking about it, we're reading it, we're meditating day and night. Why? Why does God tell us to do that? Why does God want us to prove Him? That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. He wants us to prove His precepts. We just spoke about it a moment ago. If God says to give and God says to tithe and God says to give cheerfully and bountifully, He wants us to prove Him on that. Prove His precepts. If God tells us a certain way we're supposed to live, and we say, but God, nobody else is living this way. But God, none of the other teenagers live this way. Why should I have to live this way? And God's just saying, prove me. Because you know what? God's saying in heaven, He's saying, teenager, if you'll do what I'll tell you, you don't have to live with all the regrets that all those other teenagers are going to have to live with. Prove me! Do what my word says. Obey your parents. And I'll show you the blessings that I'll pour out on you. Husband, God's telling you to prove Him. When He tells you to love your wife the way that He loves the church, and we say, well, I can't do that. You know what? He's saying, prove me. If you'll do it, I'll show you. If we'll love our wives the way Christ loved the church, unconditionally, sacrificially, no strings attached, and we just love. We don't always do that, do we? Do we, husbands? Do you do it all the time? I hope you do, but we don't always do it, do we? God, help us to always do it. God, help us to always love our wives the way Christ loved the church, and when we'll do it, He'll prove Himself to us. By the way, He doesn't have to, but He said, I will. I'll prove myself to you. He said in Malachi 3:10, if you'll give, I'll open the windows of heaven. He said, prove me and I'll show you. You have faith and I'll show you how faithful I am. He wants us to prove His promises, His power, His presence, His precepts. Friend, if there's something in God's Word that you struggle with, just obey it and prove Him. Let Him show Himself mighty. Let Him show Himself strong in your life. That's what He wants to do. Boy, I struggle with this. I don't want to obey that precept. I don't want to do that. I don't know if that's for me. And God's saying, just obey it. Just obey it and I'll prove to you. Give and I'll prove to you. Obey, I'll prove to you. Live a holy life, I'll prove to you. Give somebody a track, I'll prove to you. Letter E, He wants us to prove His prosperity. Again, we're not talking about financial prosperity this morning. We're talking about spiritual prosperity. Verses 7 and 8 again. He said that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Verse 8, that thou mayest observe, for then thou shalt make thy way what? Prosperous. Why is it vital that every generation advance? Why is it vital that these two young men right here advance in their Christian lives? Why is it vital that they grow in their Christian lives? You say, Pastor, they're just 10 years old. What does it matter? What a leg up these young men have to grow up in a Christian home. Now look, I know God's power can overrule a wicked home. And kids can be saved out of a wicked home. I understand that. But to be constantly, daily and weekly, brought up under the Word of God, hearing the Word of God, taught the Word of God. Every day in their school, they're taught the Word of God. Sunday and Wednesday night, all the time, they hear the Word of God, and they hear the Word of God. They're learning at 10 years old. They're learning how to be a good daddy. They're learning how to be good men. They're learning how to be good citizens. They're learning how to be good husbands. They're learning how to be good siblings to their sisters. I don't think they've learned that one yet, but they're still working on that one. That, he hadn't learned that one yet, has he, Miss Megan? Still working on that one. They're learning. And they're advancing. Every generation must advance because there's going to be some ground that these two young men need to possess one day. I don't know what God's going to do in their lives. They may not be in the ministry. They may just be a good layman, and I don't necessarily like that word, but just a good layman in the church, good godly men. And God's going to help them to advance, possess some land, even just as good godly men. Maybe businessmen, maybe a doctor, whatever. And God's going to help them to possess, because there's ground to possess, because there's a God to prove. There's a God to prove. Can I say, church, dear church family, I personally think I can prove Him more, and I personally think our church can prove Him more. We just need to have faith. We need to trust Him. We need to... We need to put blinders on our eyes, and we need to close our ears to all the noises and distractions of this world. Because this world wants us to go one way, and God's Word wants us to go another. And if we go the way of the world, we're going to be going backward. If we go the way of the world, or if we just sit and do nothing, we're just stagnant. We're like old, nasty, dirty pond water. Stagnant. And we need to advance. Daddies, your families need to advance in your Christian life as a family. And daddies, it's your responsibility to help your family advance. It's your responsibility to help your wife and those little ones that God has entrusted to you. It's your responsibility to help them to advance and to possess some land. To have some growth in their Christian life. To possess that ground of holiness, to possess that ground of obedience, to possess that ground of trust. Every generation must advance. I don't know, and I probably should have done the homework on this, but I don't know, but every week all across our nation, there are churches closing. Some churches like ours, some churches that are different than us, but there are churches closing. That's not advancing. That's conceding. That's surrendering. That's waving the white flag. How many families this past week, how many husbands and wives this past week filed for divorce? That's surrendering, raising the white flag when it comes to marriage. How many teenagers this week backtalked and rebelled to their mom and dad? That's disobedience to God's Word. That's not advancing in your Christian walk. That's not advancing in your spiritual growth. That's surrendering and going backward. Going back to Egypt. Number one, because we have ground to possess. Number two, because we have a God to prove. And letter E, we said He wants us to prove His prosperity. And that leads us to number three, because we have the guarantee of prosperity. Because we have the guarantee of prosperity. We have ground to possess. We have a God to prove. And we have the guarantee of prosperity. And I'm not talking about financially, although I believe that could be part of it. But here He's talking about spiritually. Here He is talking about physical ground. He said, I'm going to prosper you. I'm going to give you the promised land. I'm going to give you Canaan. I'm going to prosper you if you'll meditate in My Word day and night. If you'll meditate, if you'll study it, then if you'll submit to it, the word observe, then I'll give you success. I'll give you spiritual success. If you study it, meditate therein day and night, if you observe, if you'll submit to it, I'll give you success. I'll give you prosperity. That's a guarantee. I mean, aren't verses 7 and 8 a promise? Yes or no? Absolutely. You say, well, Pastor, they're not a promise to us. They're a promise to Joshua. Okay, I'll grant you that, but I believe the principle is for us today. Doesn't 2 Timothy 3 tell us that all Scripture is profitable for all of us? Absolutely. The principle is here. Yes, maybe he just gave it to Joshua. But look, the principle of obeying and studying and meditating in God's Word day and night, the principle of having success and prosperity is for every generation. Because we have the guarantee of prosperity. I've already given you the three. Letter A, when we study. Letter B, when we submit. Letter C, we have success. When we study, when we submit. See, we can't just study and not observe. A lot of people do that today. They read and they study, which is good. But they don't ever observe. They don't submit. They don't do. They don't apply it to their lives. They don't observe to do. What does he say in verse number 8? That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Listen, friend, our nation and our world needs some Christians who will advance right now. Not giving ground, not backing, by the way, not standing still, not being comfortable where we're at, not being comfortable with our good Christian lives, and we're good people, and we act right, and we do right, and we treat people right. We know we're headed to heaven. We know we're saved. We know we've been born again, and we're just comfortable with that. Look, our world needs some Christians who are going to advance and possess some ground and take back some ground that has been surrendered and has been conceded. This world and our nation, I would say it this morning, is depending on that. Would you agree with that? Maybe you don't. I just think it does. I think our nation is depending upon people like us who know Christ, who are saved, who are born again, who are on our way to heaven, and we know that, and we have full assurance of that, not to be comfortable where we're at. Advancing. Advancing, advancing, advancing. Whether it's serving, whether it's giving, whether it's taking a stand, verbally and publicly against something that is absolutely in contradiction to God's Word, whatever it may be, every generation must advance. You might be a baby boomer this morning. Look, your advancing isn't over yet. Until He takes you home, we all need to keep advancing. You might be a Generation X. You might be I think that's me. You might be a Generation Y. That's the millennials. How many of you are millennials? Pastor, I don't know. What is a millennial? 1976 until 2000-something. How many of you were born after 1976? Y'all think y'all are cool because you're a millennial, don't you? Some of you little ones might be the iGen, the Generation Z. Doesn't matter. Every generation, every individual, every Christian, until God gives us our last breath here upon this earth, we must advance spiritually. And let me say, we're good at advancing physically and financially. Look, we're going to go get every dollar we can get, and we're going to work, and we're going to work, and that's good. The Bible tells us to work. We're good at that, but what about spiritually? What about advancing spiritually? What about taking ground maybe that our parents' generation conceded? How about we stop conceding ground? How about we say, devil, you're not getting this ground? How about we do like David's mighty men, where the Bible says that he stood in the middle of a field of lentils. He fought for a bean patch and wouldn't concede it. And I submit to us this morning, we have much more than a bean patch to fight for. We have a land, we have a nation that was founded upon freedom, that was founded upon God's Word, and she is slowly being torn apart from within. And that's not what this message is about, but that is part of it. We need to advance. Every generation must advance. Because we have ground to possess. Because we have a God to prove. What does God say? I'm done. What does He say in verse 6? Be strong. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Verse 9, have not I commanded thee? He said, look, I have commanded you, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Why did He command them that? Have not I commanded thee? God, strong, good courage, be not afraid. How can I do that? For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Teenager, everybody at school can do it differently, but if you'll do it the way God says to do it, He'll go with you every step of the way. Hey, dear sir, everybody at your place of work may do it differently than you do, but if you'll do it God's way, He'll go with you every step of the way. Dear wife, every other lady you know may do it differently. They may not love their husband. They may talk about their husbands behind their backs. They may treat their husbands cruelly and harshly. But if you'll do it the Bible way, He'll go with you every step of the way. Because we have a God that wants us to prove Him. And He's given us the promise. He's given us His presence. He's given us His precepts. He's given us His power. And He has guaranteed us prosperity spiritually if we'll follow, observe, submit to His Word. Amen? Here's the invitation this morning. First of all, friend, do you know that you're saved? If death were to take you today, are you 100% sure that heaven would be your home? Secondly, believers, let me ask us, and I'm every one of us in here this morning, this age all the way up to the oldest person in here this morning, are we advancing? Are you advancing in your spiritual life? Are you reading your Bible? Are you growing? Is God teaching us? Is God making us better? Is God strengthening us every day through His Word? If He's not, let's ask Him to do so this morning. And let's just simply this morning say, God, I'm going to trust You to go every step of the way with me. And I'm going to trust You to help me to advance. Father, thank You for the Word You've given us this morning. Help us as a people. Help us as a church. Father, I pray if there's individuals here today, man, woman, boy, or girl, who do not know Christ, Father, I pray that they would be saved. Father, for believers this morning, I pray that You'd help us to advance. And if we're not, if we're being stagnant, or maybe we've even gone backward a little bit, Father, I pray that You'd help us to confess, convict us of it, then help us to confess, get it right, and then move forward and advance in the weeks, in the days and weeks and months to come. God, would You help us with that this morning? I know You will. I know You want to. That's Your desire. And I pray that we'll trust You with that today. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed. If you'll stand to your feet this morning, heads bowed and eyes closed. Miss Jo's going to begin to play. Friend, if you need to come for whatever reason, invitation's already been given. Do you know Christ as Savior? If you don't, come. Believer, you know Christ. You've been born again. You have confidence, assurance of that. Okay, are you advancing? Are you growing in your spiritual life? Are you taking back ground that maybe you conceded in days gone by? Maybe truths and principles that God taught you, even as a child, even as a young person, but when you got a little bit older, you said, you know, I don't think I'm going to abide by what my mom and dad taught me. I'm not going to abide by what the Bible says. I'm going to start doing some things my own way. You know what? At that moment, you conceded some ground. You conceded some biblical ground. Maybe this morning you'd come and take it back. You'd come and say, God, forgive me for conceding that ground. God, help me. I want to take it back. Maybe this morning you have a family member, a friend, a coworker that's not saved. That may be ground that God wants you to possess. Maybe that's ground that God wants you to begin to pray over. And begin talking to them, telling them about Christ. That's a soul that God wants. That's a soul that God wants to save. Christ has already done the work. We have ground to possess. We have a God that we can prove because He's proven Himself to us faithful over and over. and over again. Joshua had seen it. Joshua had seen God work. He experienced the Red Sea. He experienced the wilderness. He saw God's judgment, but then he experienced the Jordan River, where he was able to take God's people over on dry ground. He's proven himself to us. Some of you have been in this church for 40, 50, 60, maybe even 60 years or so. You've seen God prove himself over and over and over again. Don't stop trusting him now. Don't stop advancing now. Don't sit stagnant now. Don't back up now. Keep moving forward. Keep advancing. There's still plenty of ground to possess in Haywood, in Lauderdale, Madison, Crockett County, Tipton County. There's still plenty, 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 plenty of ground to possess. There are children that need to be rescued out of homes where their moms and dads could care less about God. There are husbands and wives who need their marriages rescued. And it might be you. Dear lady, it might be you and your husband. Dear sir, it might be you and your wife who God allows you to possess that ground to help that couple save their marriage. Amen. Thank you so much for your attention today. Thank you so much for your attendance. Look forward to seeing you back tonight at 6, choir members at 5 o'clock. Mr. Frank, Ms. Kat, thank you all so much for joining with us today. We count it a privilege. We count it an honor that you came to worship with us today. Please get by and greet them and meet them if you haven't done so already. And we'll just look forward to being back together tonight. Rachel, how's your mom doing? The 15th. Let's keep praying for Ms. Heather. And I know we are. I know we pray for this morning in prayer time, but keep praying. Is your dad? When's your dad going?
He's going the 10th or
11th. 10th or 11th. Pray for Brother Kevin as he goes back down, and pray for Miss Heather. Let's just pray for each other. Amen. Be back tonight at 6. We're going to finish up 1 Thessalonians, and I'm looking forward to that tonight. We'll review a little bit, but we'll finish up the last four verses, I believe it is, verses 25 through 28. Excited about that. It's been a good study. And thankful for what God has taught us through it. Amen. Let's pray. We'll be dismissed. Look forward to seeing everyone back tonight. Brother Jeff Snow, would you pray for us, please?